Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show, to all of the parents and teachers out there, including my fabulous executive producer, Betsy Bloom. I just want to say the 1,000 days of May are coming to a close. Hang on. You've got this. I see you. Betsy, mental health check. How we doing?
Hanging on by a thread, but, you know, I'm mostly just subsisting on candy and movies at this point.
You know what? There's nothing that a good box of candy and a movie can't solve.
No, I agree.
I will say, I have been hearing from some of our soon-to-be empty nester listeners, and I want to say, like, I know the emotions of this time are very real. And there's a lot of different emotions. It's like happy, sad, nostalgic, relieved. So we'll just, I want to say right out of the gate, like, whatever moment or feeling that you are in right now, it's all good. It's all normal. Yeah. You're right where you're supposed to be. Just have some Milk Duds and put on Clueless and all will be okay. Okay. I'm Ashley Adamson, and today is a special day on my calendar. It is May 23rd, which is my wedding anniversary. And I have been married to my way better half, Chris, for 9 years, which is kind of wild. He is in Puerto Rico for work this week. So the next most romantic thing I can think of is doing a podcast with the one other person other than Chris who, like, truly made my wedding day so incredibly special. Her name is Katie Webb Brundage, and she was our wedding planner. And we met through a mutual dear friend of mine. So shout out to Colleen Farrell. When Chris and I got engaged, I was working with Colleen, and she said, "You gotta meet my friend Katie. She's a wedding planner." And we had gone out a few times in San Francisco, so I had known that Katie was a really good time, but I didn't realize what an amazing wedding planner she was. She was a total godsend. So I can't wait to have her on. And I'll say, she not only owns a wedding and event planning company, Betsy, but she is the co-founder of a nonprofit camp in Southern California for people with developmental disabilities. In the last few years, she and her husband, Tim, have adopted 2 sons who both have special needs. So she's just like this remarkable human being, and she puts out so much love into the world. And as I mentioned, she's also a hell of a good time. So if you ever get a chance to have a glass of wine with her, I highly recommend it.
I don't know how one person can be that impressive, but I'm...
She has more hours in the day than the rest of us. I can tell you that.
She and Beyonce are on the same.
She and Beyonce are on the same high vibe. Like, totally. That's great call. Great comp. But yeah, so I think as like wedding season begins, I'm just happy to have her on and share some of her insights for those of you planning or attending or being part of a wedding. She also is going to have some pointing advice for our own Lisa McCaffrey as she gets ready to marry off her first son. So we hope you all enjoy this conversation. And thanks as always for being part of this community. Katie Webb, welcome to your mom. This is a long time coming, my friend. It's good to see you.
So good to see you. It is amazing to be here. Thank you so much for having me today.
I just always like to ask as we kind of dive in, because there's a bunch of different things to talk with you about, but like, how are you coming into this? We're recording on a Tuesday morning in the middle of what I imagine to be one of your busiest months of the year.
Yeah.
It's just getting started. Yes, it is like the calm before the storm. The storm is definitely brewing, but it's good. I mean, Tuesdays are my craziest day. I've already had a board meeting, taken care of kids, and here we are now.
So, yeah, I'm going to go. I just got out of bed about 5 minutes ago.
I was going to say, what time is it there? It's like not even yet 10 a.m.
It's not even 10 a.m. here on the West Coast. Oh, well, Katie, I'm excited to talk with you, obviously, about the work that you do, the camp that you've run that's just amazing, and, of course, about being a mom to your 2 incredible boys, Alex, who is almost 5, and Riley, who is 2.
Yeah, 2.5. Yeah.
2.5. All right. But first, I just want to say, like I mentioned it in the intro, but happy anniversary to us. Like, I know that I mentioned that, you know, I'm married to Chris, and technically it's our anniversary today, but you were probably the second most important person to that day being a success. And I'm not sure, I probably sent you like a thank you note, but I don't know that I ever could have properly thanked you. Like that day, every time I look back on it, we'll go through pictures, we'll watch the video, I have even like more love and appreciation for how special it was. Like, very few people get to feel like their wedding day met their expectation, and mine totally exceeded it. So thank you.
Happy to hear that. We've done maybe 1,000 weddings at this point, and I still vividly remember so many moments of your wedding, and your guests totally showed up. Like, they brought the party all weekend long. And I feel like that a huge part of the success of a wedding is, are you an A game guester? Like, you have to be on your game the whole time. And your people were definitely on their A game.
They were on their A game, to include Betsy's husband, Mac, who was our best man in our wedding, who gave maybe the most incredible speech of all time. I don't know, Betsy, have you ever seen the recording of it?
So, Ashley, you mentioned that you regretted that I was not able to attend your wedding, and I feel that deeply. But I also feel like I have attended it because I've watched Mac's speech probably 10 times. Your wedding video. Like, it was like probably the third month we were dating, and Mac put it on like as though we were going to like be watching a movie. Like, we had popcorn, and he was like, and here's Ashley and Chris's wedding. Incredible.
That is my favorite story of all time. I mean, I'm assuming that's what sealed the deal for you.
I was just to ask, was that it for you after that?
Well, I mean, Mac did an amazing job, but the recording he showed me didn't have any of the background music, so it was just him singing into the microphone. I was like, you sound
you're
a little
still
off.
Here. That's good.
And you still made it.
I'm so inspired by you and na 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 for the longest time. So exuding energy.
Well, the best part about that too is that apparently he did like a karaoke version of a wedding speech, I guess is the best way I could describe it, where he was kind of talking about Chris and I's story, and he had a song for some of the different moments and that all sort of matched. Apparently, I'd heard that he had like 5 or 6 more songs in that speech. And then the night before, like, trimmed it down after he got some good advice about the fact that it couldn't be like a 25-minute speech. So that was good. But he absolutely killed it. And I will say, too, as long as we're talking about weddings, Betsy's wedding was, and I've talked about this on the podcast before in one of our early episodes when you first joined this season, Betsy, it was truly one of the most magical days that as a guest that I have ever, like, I've never been to a wedding like that. And it was as close to, I would say, the feeling that I had at my wedding is probably the best way I can describe the way I felt at your wedding. There was just so much joy and love, and the speeches were incredible. And I think, Katie, I just wonder, there's so many different things I could ask you about in terms of what you do as a wedding planner. But if you could tell, like, if there was a bride that you could say, hey, this is the one thing I want every bride to know. Like, what's the one thing that you would want every bride to know?
Oof, such a good question. I mean, obviously, you know, it goes by so fast. People say that all the time, but it truly does. And so just taking advantage of every single second. I like to tell this story now because I was a bride. I am a wedding planner. I literally had the worst ending to my wedding night. And we came back to our room at our hotel. I had been on a diet eating like green, you know, salad and soup and everything for months. And all I wanted was chicken nuggets and fries. Like, that was the one thing I had been dreaming about. And I called the hotel. This is how hungry I was. I called the hotel a month before and was like, just want to make sure at midnight, can I get these? And they're like, yes, no problem. So I go like running into the hotel room after, so excited. They're like, oh no, we're so sorry. We just closed the kitchen, but we have a Caesar salad if you want it. And I was like, that's absolutely not what I want right now, but fine, just bring it up here. And then I go to take off my shoes. I put my feet down and the ground's wet. And I'm like, why is the ground wet? And I start looking around and it's kind of wet everywhere and it smells a little bit. And I start looking and the ceiling is leaking from someone's toilet upstairs that is now all in our suite at the hotel. My dress, I look down, I'm like, oh my God. And so we ended on a, you know, really crappy note, if you can imagine. And we were up until like 3 a.m., no hotel room to go into, no chicken nuggets and fries. And so I always say, like, if that could happen at the end of my wedding night, like, everything else is going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
So I remember you telling me, like, you are going to be starving when you get back to your room. You are going to be starving. And you had our caterers put together like boxes of food for us to take. And of course, we left all of our things like on the bus. Who knows what we did with everything. But we get back to our hotel. I don't know if you remember this, but I had lost my voice. I did not have a voice the day of my wedding, which was really nice because then I didn't feel like I had to talk to anybody that I didn't want to talk to. I was just like, sorry. But I get back to the room and I've never been that hungry. Like I actually thought I was going to eat and there was no food. And I asked Chris because they couldn't hear me when I tried to call the front desk to call and order food. he had one more drink than he probably should have at the end of the night. And as the story goes, he ordered a plate of almonds. And then he said, I just hear him say, oh, you don't have any almonds? Okay, thanks. We'll see you in the morning and hangs up. And I was just like, has anyone ever gotten divorced like the same day that they got married?
Almond. I remember almond mom.
Oh God. I remember there was this tiny little, like we had a little gift basket from this great, we stayed at the Quail Lodge, which was amazing. And we had this little gift basket and I open it up and there's what I think is a bonbon. It's like a small, like wrapped up little thing. And I go into the bathroom because I don't want Chris to see that I'm eating it because I don't want to share it. And I open it up and it's like a pot of lip balm. And I almost started crying. I was just like, this is not what I wanted. So that's what I would say. Like one of the best pieces of advice is make sure that you have food.
Yeah.
Like set up and maybe some backup food too. Yeah. Like even if you think that the hotel is going to have, but just food is, you are so hungry because you're not eating that day. You're obviously like, you know, eating salads leading into it.
All the things.
Yep. That is excellent advice. Okay. So what about every mother of the bride? Because I think there is something about weddings that bring out some very interesting dynamics for families. And it seems like for mothers of the bride and mothers of the groom in particular. So do you have any thing that you would offer for advice for mothers of the bride?
Oh man, every client is so different. I say all the time, I should have got my degree in psychology and not event planning because I'm a therapist more than I am anything else. Mothers of the bride are different because they sometimes this is their wedding, like they want it to be their wedding. It's not, and we have to understand that. And then mothers of the groom, there's no real like definition for what their role is. So I feel like they always have the hardest time because they want control. They want some opinion, like it's their son, but honestly, you don't have a lot. So you have to stay in your lane, like pick your lane and stay there the whole time until we get to the end. And then you can have some opinions because it's over, but not until then.
We'll take your opinions when it's over.
When it's over, yes.
There'll be a feedback form. Thank you.
We'll post comments. Yes.
Oh, well, I think that this is poignant timing because Lisa McCaffrey, of course, who, by the way, she's getting married, or I should say she's not getting married. She's getting ready to marry off her son, Christian, to former Miss Universe Olivia Culpo.
Yes.
She actually couldn't be here on this call right now. She's going to try and pop on, but she couldn't be here because she's hosting a bridal shower for her best friend's daughter this weekend. And they're having a big meeting like with a caterer and everything today. But she asked me to ask you, like, what advice would you have for the mother of the groom? So in addition to save your comments and feedback for the end, is there anything else, even like just kind of the mindset of going into it? Because it is, you know, you're welcoming someone into your family, but I've never married off a child before, but I've talked to other parents who feel like in some ways they're also sort of losing a child to another family. Like there is a little bit of that dynamic too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard when they don't get along with that other person. Like from what I have seen on the socials, it seems like they have a good relationship with one another. But it is challenging. And we see this a lot when like mother-in-law doesn't like future daughter-in-law or vice versa. That's hard because we are marrying into each other's families and we're combining families and that means the good and the bad. So I think that's really always an interesting dynamic. But you know, for the mothers of the groom, like they're going through what the mothers of the bride and fathers of the bride are going through. You're marrying your son off to someone else. Their life is going to change. You know, someone else has a little bit more control now than you might want them to have in your son's life. And all I can say is patience is a virtue. Just like take it all in. It's going to be a learning year for sure as things and dynamics change in the family, but at the end of the day, it's a good thing. This is great. Families are growing. You're welcoming more people into your family. You just have to kind of like be patient as you figure it all out.
It does evolve. Betsy, do you remember kind of your, and I just, again, I think about your wedding, I just get the biggest smile on my face because it was incredible. Was there anything you feel like as you look back at your wedding that you either are so glad that you did or wish you had done differently? What's your own comment card and feedback say about your wedding?
That's a great question. I mean, no, there's nothing that I wish I had done differently. And like, I think your point about it going by so quickly is 100% true. And because of that, it like fades into kind of like a blur, and like the good moments outweigh any moments of tension. So I think that just like keeping that in mind, and I'm sure things went wrong and no one told me. And actually I have one regret. We had like a things to do page on our wedding website. And one of them was for this famous, I'm from Buffalo and the wedding was in Buffalo. So we had a bunch of chicken wing options. And one of them is the most famous one called Gabriel's Gate. And Gabriel's Gate let their wedding their website domain expire. And it was bought by a pornography site, unbeknownst to me. And so everyone who was clicking on the things to do page, so all of the out of town guests that went there were taken to a hardcore pornography website. And no one told me until my birthday, which was 6 months later, it like came up. And I was like, what? And one of my best friends was going around telling everyone else at the rehearsal dinner. And I was like, I asked my maid of honor, I was like, how could you not tell me? And she was like, would you have wanted to know? You would have like gone up to every wedding guest and personally apologized, even if they seen it, which is true. But so like, I regret not knowing that ahead of time so I could fix it. But I also think it goes to the power of like, ignorance is bliss. Like, things could have been falling apart behind the scenes, but nobody was telling me I was having a great time. So like, I guess as long as it isn't brought to your attention, like, have fun.
I mean, and there might have been some guests that had a good time too, like that you have exactly. A different option. You know, it's, you're all about options for whatever your interest may be. You know. That is one of my favorite stories.
That's hilarious. Well, I would say I've heard that before, so that's pretty funny.
I do think there's always going to be something that goes wrong though, right? Like Katie, you've been to 1,000 weddings. Have you ever been to a wedding that went according to plan, like perfectly?
No. No. Yeah. Does your day ever go according to plan? No. Natural things happen, but it's all about putting out fires. Like, that's what we say we do all the time. We're like, we're planners before the wedding, the day of the wedding, we're firefighters. Like, we're just putting out things so that the bride and groom don't know what's happening. So it's normal. Everything's going to be fine though.
There were a couple of things that you saved, and I don't want to, I feel like if I tell these stories, the innocent will, even if I don't name names, they will know that I'm talking about them. So I will not share any stories other than to say that my favorite moment of my wedding was one that you totally curated, Katie, and was really unexpected. So after the ceremony, we go and take all the pictures, and then, you know, everybody's having cocktail hour. There was probably 20 minutes between the end of cocktail hour and the beginning of dinner. And you said, you pulled Chris and I aside and you said, hey, you can either go talk to everybody at cocktail hour, or I can bring you a plate of food and you can go hang in this, you know, room right off where we were having this dinner. And we both were kind of like, oh, you know what? I'd love just a minute. Like, what a great idea. Cause you were kind of like, I could tell that you were like, you should go enjoy a minute. Yeah. So where we were sitting was in this room, and we got married at a place called Holman Ranch in Carmel Valley, which you found this venue, and it is like the most special place in the world. When we stepped foot on it, we were like, oh my God, it was amazing. And when we were sitting in this room, and we could see out to where everybody was coming in to sit down for dinner, but they couldn't see us. And we were sitting there having a glass of champagne, and it felt like we were watching a movie of our own life. Like, I'm seeing all of these people from all of these different parts of my life who I love so deeply, and they're all having a great time talking to each other, engaging with each other. And it was just, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. It was so special. And that moment would have never happened. We would have gone and, you know, said hello and made the rounds for 15, 20 more minutes. And you just kind of noticing like, hey, here's an option if you want it. It was still, Chris and I talk about like the best 15 minutes, you know, of our wedding day, because it was just a special sort of pause and moment. So I my unsolicited advice to everyone whenever someone's getting married is I always say, A, don't talk to anyone you don't want to talk to. Like, they're there for you. The day is about you and your spouse. So if you catch yourself in a conversation with someone who you've like met one time in your life and will probably never see again, just thank them for being there and excuse yourself. And if you have a hard time doing that, then the catch is just pick a time that you are going to stop talking and go on the dance floor and like stick to that time, because it will go by. Like you guys said, it goes by like that. And you can't believe that all of the time and energy and money and planning that goes into it is can be over so quickly, but it does go by so fast. So
yeah, thankfully for you, we were trying to save your voice a little bit, so we had to keep you away from people. So that's
true. I couldn't stop talking.
Yes.
I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh man. And I gave a very short little toast that probably would have been longer if I actually could have talked. But yeah, it was great. What was it like? But, and then we'll move on from the wedding stuff. But I imagine you were in this, you know, you had started this wedding and event company and you ran it for many years before you yourself got married. So like, what was your wedding planning and experience? Because I imagine it was different coming from the background that you have.
Yeah. You know what? It was so weird doing it as a bride and a planner, because to me, I don't have a lot of feelings anyway. Like all my friends joke that I have a gray or black heart. It was black earlier. Now that I've had kids, it's gray. But it was, I had no feelings about it. It was more like business decisions. This is how it should look. This is the best logistics. Like I know how to do this well. And I looked back on it. I was like, should I have cried at that moment? Or would I have done something different had I not known? So I don't know. I just threw a great party and I enjoyed being with all my friends and family.
That's what it's all about. You do not have a bright red heart. I will say that.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on solely just what I know about you, I can.
Which is the perfect segue into this point, which is that, you know, so you get your bachelor's degree in hospitality and tourism management from San Diego State. You're from Orange County originally. And then you end up co-founding, Intertwined Events is your wedding and events company, which again, if you're planning a wedding and need a wedding planner, huge plug, best that ever does it. But you do so much more than that, Katie. And I think that's something that, again, we were talking about, like you and Beyonce must have 35 hours in every day. Because
that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
that was the best call, Betsy. It's exactly right. You run something called Rad Camp, and it's a 501c3 that supports people with developmental disabilities. So I want to know about the camp, but let's like start with where and when did your desire to help people with disabilities begin?
Probably I would say in high school is when I like really dove into this. Long story long, I have an uncle who was born with cerebral palsy. My mom's side of the family is Canadian. And so he was almost 70. So that was a long time ago when the world did not agree with a lot of things with people with special needs, let alone, I mean, the world doesn't now at times. But he was put into a center at back in Canada. And so growing up, I didn't have a lot of memory of him. I didn't know what his life was like. And so I wanted to see what that would be like. So I started volunteering in high school, doing work with people with special needs. I mean, this camp is everything. And it is the core of what my business is based off of also. So Intertwined would not operate without RAD. RAD would not operate without Intertwined. So it's kind of an interesting connection, because so many of the vendors that we work with in the event world show up and help us put on RAD. So it's really fun to see, here are people that we work with every day making money, and then here's how we get to give back together. So it's been really cool seeing how the industry has stepped up and elevated the camp experience for all the campers. I also just have a huge passion for the volunteers that we have. These 16, 17, 18-year-olds that show up to volunteer, and they are too cool for school and they don't want to sing or dance. And then by the end of the week, they are like crying to mom about how they have to leave their camper and what an impact that person has made on their lives is just the best. Like, I will do this until the day I die because of how I know we're impacting the youth and how important that is for inevitably my kids is what I think about, but like all the other kids and adults that have special needs. I feel like there is so much education for what this community could do for the world. And the more and more that RAD gets to do, the more the world will know the worth of all of our buddies and campers.
Katie, that is just, I don't know. I feel like, it takes a truly special person to be able to see a group that doesn't have the ability to have their own voice, right? Like you are looking at a community of people who are incredible and you see them for their abilities. And I just wonder, you know, to the point that you just made, what do you want people to know and understand about the community of people that you work with?
Yeah. I mean, I want them to know they're just like us. It's just different in a way that they perceive information. So like my son has autism and a lot of the therapists will say to me, you just need to live in his world for a little bit, like get to know what he's going through and you can adapt your world. His world is full of bright, shiny objects. He wants to sing all the time. Music is like the way to get into his brain. And like, if I change my household to meet his needs, he's all of a sudden thriving and he is enjoying things that we love. So I always think that there's so much there once we just understand how to interact with them. But there's also people in the special needs community that are doing things none of us can do. Like there was just this awesome kid with Down syndrome who just finished an Ironman. Like, I don't know about you. I'm not doing an Ironman anytime in my life. Sophia Sanchez, she's a teenager with Down syndrome. She just starred in Hunger Games. She just did a TED Talk. Like, I'm not going to be able to do one of those. So it's figuring out the world, figuring out that even though you've like defined this person in this certain way, that's actually not true.
Yeah. And you mentioned one of your sons and would love to talk to you about those two boys. I remember you telling me that you always knew you wanted to adopt children, but I think it's one thing to know that you want to adopt kids and it's another to know you want to adopt kids with special needs. So let's start with the first part of that. How did, you know, what would you share about how you kind of knew from an early age that you wanted to adopt kids?
Yeah, I would say I knew super early. Like the stories go that I was saying it at 3 years old that I was going to adopt and I didn't want to have kids of my own. I have never had that feeling of like, yes, I want to be pregnant. There's nothing wrong with people who say that. I have so many kudos and respect to you. I don't think I could do it. But adoption was something that was always on my mind. And then once I started volunteering in the special needs community, I knew that there were kids out there who needed homes and needed someone to love them and care for them. And I knew that I could do that. And once I met Tim and started dating him and realizing that we were going to have a future together, I knew he was the best person to do this with. So we loved it. Both of the kids have special needs. Alex has Prader-Willi syndrome and autism, and Riley has Down syndrome. And they are just like the best things that ever happened to us.
Well, you mentioned your husband, Tim, and we should mention that one of the things that camp brought you was your husband as well, right? Like you met him because he was a volunteer there.
Yeah, he was my first team leader. So when I was 17, did camp for the first time. This was at another organization, but he was the first person I met when I walked up the stairs. He led me through that whole first week's experience, taught me about the value of the special needs community. And then we were friends for over 15 years before we finally started dating. The story goes that I always said I would never, ever date him, which is very, very true. But somehow, here we are.
He played the long game, which is sometimes way to go, Tim. Well worth the wait. Well, you mentioned your older son, Alex, who has Prader-Willi syndrome. Just kind of walk us through. He's homeschooling right now, you mentioned to me, which is incredible. Tell me what his life is like and tell me what you would want, because I think part of the, you know, and this is true with anything, it's, I think part of sometimes people's misunderstanding of any group that isn't just exactly like them is that they don't know and don't understand. So what can you tell us about him? What is PWS and what is it like being, you know, caring for him?
Yeah. PWS is a very interesting diagnosis. I feel like it's heartbreaking, to be honest. So when he was born, he had failure to thrive, which means that if you left him alone in his crib all day long, he would not wake up. He would not be hungry. He would just sleep. And so we would have to actively work every day to get him to eat enough so that he was sustaining and try to get him to be awake enough so that he was experiencing the world. So he has really low muscle tone. Like he didn't walk until he was almost three, didn't roll over really until he was almost three. So things are just delayed for him. Once he gets a little bit older, he'll go into what they call hyperphagia, which is basically if you've ever experienced your hangriest moment in life, like think about Ashley after your wedding when all you wanted was almonds. That is how he will feel every day for the rest of his life. So we are actively working in the community to try to find medicine that will help this. There's a few trials out there that I'm like praying go through. They've been successful for a lot of kids so far. And if that works, that'll be life changing for him. He also has this autism diagnosis. So that is on top of the PWS. So he will have challenges along the way, but we'll figure it out and we'll adapt his world and he'll be fine. But yeah, we just experience different things every day. We try different therapies. He's constantly doing stuff so that he can try to get more strength, get more education and more experiences.
Yeah. What's he like? Like what's his little personality?
He's a funny little guy. He is quiet for the most part. He loves playing alone, but he wants you nearby just in case. He's not one to share, which the younger one wants to share everything. So that's always fun. but he is more of a stay by himself kind of guy. So there has been multiple things or experiences or places we've gone where people have asked, like, how do I interact with him? And it's just a matter of like trying to get into his world, finding something that he can relate to, and then building on that thing. He's not one that you could just go up and be like, let's go hang out. That's not the way to his heart.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your younger son, Riley, who's 2.5. Tell me what that little guy is like.
Riley is your pure definition of fun. Like he wants to yell at you all the time. He wants to dance all the time. He knows every hand motion to like every child song and wants you to sing it with him. If he can tackle you, he wants to wrestle you. Like he is just wild, like the exact opposite of Alex in every way possible. And he's so much fun.
I think one of the things, Katie, and you mentioned that you knew early on that, you know, you wanted to adopt and that was important to you. But I think there is also a psychological or physical element to the difference between having a child and being pregnant for 9 months and the process and decorum that comes with that. And then when you adopt, from what I understand, like with both of these boys, it happens pretty quickly. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, you're a mom and you have a baby. And so it just, is there anything that you would offer that you would want people to know about that there is a difference? And I think some people don't even quite realize the 9 months of when you're being pregnant, that's sort of preparing not only you, but the people around you for this huge life-changing event.
Yeah. I feel like that conversation, this question could be a podcast just by itself. Yeah. There's a couple of things that I experienced. Like one was how it's when you are pregnant, you have 9 months to have people around you understand this and kind of grasp what is happening. For like Riley, for example, we had 48 hours. 48 hours for me to get on a plane, to fly across the country, to be in Florida for 2 to 4 weeks. They didn't know how long. Which meant I had to pack for myself for 2 to 4 weeks, which we all know that's a lot. I had to get Alex ready at home and for Tim to take care of him by himself for 2 to 4 weeks. I had to also figure out what I needed to care for a newborn by myself in a hotel room for that long. And then I also had to prep my clients. And so that was a lot to take on in that time. And the reactions that I got were interesting. Like some were very nice and celebratory and were like, take the time. Like my out of office message said I will be gone for 1 week just so that I could get things figured out and then I would be back. But text, call, email if you need anything. And I had a couple clients that said, I understand that you're going through a big life change, but it's my wedding and I don't know why you're doing this to me and I need you to be there for me right now. So there was like no understanding that this was not a planned thing and that this was a little baby who needed someone to pick him up. Like he was sitting in a hospital by himself. So that part was super fascinating to me. what kind of credit people give, or like not even credit, just like understanding. And then the other one is the reactions I get all the time. So Riley is Black, so that's different. Like, we're here, we look very different. So it's very obvious that he's not mine right away. And I will get, when I say he's adopted with Down syndrome or Alex is adopted with Prader-Willi, I'll get, "I'm sorry." Like, that's one of the things I get all the time. I'll get, "Oh, I tried to get pregnant for a long time too. I'm sorry that didn't work out for you." Like, it's immediately tied to either I couldn't get pregnant and this was my backup plan, or they're sorry that this happened to me when this was always my plan. This is always what I wanted, and it's my dream come true. So it's very fascinating to me to, like, get those sad looks when I'm like, "You don't know what you're missing out on over here. I have the best deal."
Katie, you're amazing. So my dad was adopted, and I think that there is so much about, you know, being an adoptive parent that people, again, just don't understand. And the way that you talk about their people's reactions, for a variety of reasons, it underscores the fact that a lot of people, and we all are guilty of this, move through life, like, through our own lens, and we can only process information in the way that we would say, like, "Well, how does this impact me?" Or, "How am I looking at it through my own, you know, through my very own specific lens?" So I just, I admire the hell out of you. I'm so happy for you that you found your two boys. Like, you know, they hit the mom lottery of all time.
Thank you.
In every way. And I think, you know, Colleen, who is our good friend who I've mentioned, she always talks about how you are, like, one of the most loyal people, like, the most loyal person she has ever met. And you've been through a bunch of stuff with her, and I know you show up for your friends in all of these ways as well. You don't have time to do a lot of reflecting, I imagine, because you are doing all the things that we've just talked about. So when you, do you get the moments where you're able to pause and look around, or how do you, you know, I don't want to say, like, how do you hold it all, but there's so much that you are holding up. What's the key for you to be able to do it all and be able to hold it?
Yeah. Truthfully, I always say, like, if I stop and actually thought about what I do in a day, or, like, how I got to where I am right now, I think I would just, like, crawl, cry on the floor. Like, I don't know. But I am so grateful. This is a life I've dreamt of forever. And I just have the best village around me helping. Like, this is not me by any means. This is the Colleens of the world, my best friends. This is Tim, my husband. It is our nannies who take care of my kids like their own. It is my business partner. It's the team at Intertwine, the team at Rad Camp. Like, I cannot do this alone. And I have the very, very best people around me right now. So I'm so grateful for them. Otherwise, all of this wouldn't be working the way it is.
Just a couple last things. I would say, if your boys are listening to this recording in, I don't know, 20 years or so, whatever it may be, what do you want them to know?
That they can do whatever the heck they want, and that the world is not going to limit them. And if the world does, I'll be right there knocking down the wall with them, making sure they can do whatever it is, and we'll bring all their friends with us. So the world is not going to be limited because of disabilities. And that is my goal before my time is up here, is that we change a lot of things in the disability world and just make sure they can have whatever they want.
Yeah. Beautifully said. I know she's going to be mad that I'm doing this, but
bring her in.
I'm bringing in the call ball. We've mentioned her a few times, and I feel like I've been trying to figure out a way to get her to come on this podcast. And this was a great way of trickeration. Colleen, what are we missing? I know there's so many more layers to Katie Webb, but what would you ask her? What would you
tell her? No, I think when she says her boys can do everything, anything, it's also because of Katie and Tim. Because one thing she hasn't told you is we're still in a world where we aren't taking care of our people who may have a disability well. They're homeschooling right now because she's making sure the potential is always going to be there for them. And it's like we're still failing, you know, as a society. There's still a lot to be done. And, you know, Katie and Tim are at the forefront. We're obviously her clan, me included, we're behind her trying to help do everything we can. But there's just so much more work to be done.
I just want to say, as someone listening to this, like, it, Katie, the way that you and both you and Colleen frame this conversation, I think is so important. I feel like it's the same way that people are talking about the adoption process, like coming from a place of a negative value judgment and the disability community, like they're like, oh, I'm sorry, or that must be hard, as opposed to like how joyful that must be. Like, what do you have that I don't have in my life? Like, and I think that for anyone listening to this, that's such an important takeaway, is like, no one's asking for your sympathy or pity. In fact, in doing that, you are doing a disservice to this community, because there's a lot that you're missing out on by not understanding them better. And I think that that's been a really important takeaway for me in this conversation. And also just as a teacher, both teaching disability studies and having students that have disabilities that like bring so much to my classroom that I never would have experienced before. So I just thank you, because I think that's so important.
Well said, Betsy. The last thing I'm going to ask you is that, and you know, we talked about, and Colleen says it too, like you are a person who lives by your convictions. And I think it's, you know, this speaks to my heart as people on this podcast that have listened to it for a long time know that I'm Catholic. You grew up Christian, but you converted to Catholicism in your mid-20s. And I would say, like, that's not something that I would say the Catholic Church has seen a lot of, or people in their mid-20s joining the church. In fact, it's the opposite. So what, I'd just be curious, like, what led you to that?
That's a great question. It was coming from when that time in my life, I was right out of college. I was volunteering at this other camp before Rad Camp was around, which was more Catholic based. And I wanted to have a good understanding and a good relationship with the church. And I believed in everything that the Catholic Church was saying. I was definitely the youngest in that classroom going through that with all of my like senior citizen friends in there. But it was a good experience nonetheless. Tim and I got married in a Catholic church. We invited all of our campers from Rad Camp to be there, which was really special to have them. And we sang all the like Catholic church camp version songs. And it was probably one of the highlights of what Colleen calls my wedding week. but it was amazing. And it's still a big part of who we are as a family.
Oh, well, I love that. And you know how I feel about you, but, and I don't know who these friends are, Colleen, that are saying that she has a black heart or a gray heart. Cause
I never say it.
Good.
It is. The only time I ever cry in my life is when watching The Notebook or Grey's Anatomy. So I don't know what happened, but that's my life.
Oh, is there anyone you want to give a shout out to? We always do like a moment of gratitude or a shout out at the end. Is there anybody that you're thinking of today that's on your heart?
I mean, just coming off of Mother's Day weekend and about what the podcast is about, I think one of the other things which we could also talk for hours upon is being a working mom. And so as much as I'm all about my kids, I'm also all about my company and what I do for a living. So going back to the village, I truly cannot thank every single person in my life that's part of my everyday life, because I need all of them desperately. I'm so grateful for them and everything they do for me, my kids, my family. I'm just grateful for all of them, especially for Call Ball, my bestie.
No, you don't. We love you, Kate.
Call Ball, I feel like you need to stick around for like the afterglow, the debrief.
I know, we're on the top of a bottle of red right now.
You should. It's, yeah, I mean, it's 10:20.
I mean, why not?
It's 5:20 somewhere, so.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Katie, you are a gift for spending this time with us. I know you've got a lot going on, and best of luck with going into the craziness of wedding season. And camp is amazing. I'm going to come down and visit. I would love to come.
You need to come down this summer and check it out.
I would love to. It starts in July. What, July 10th, July 13th?
It's in June for the kiddos and July for the adults. I'll send you the dates.
Please do. Please do. All right. Well, thank you for all the love and goodness that you're putting out into the world. And shout out to your two boys who have hit the mom jackpot. And it's truly to everyone who helps be a part of someone's village. Like, it is sometimes that the caretakers and the caregivers are people who we don't say thank you to enough. And I also would say, as a closing thought, like, that's one of the biggest gifts of Rad Camp as well, is that you give people respite and time when, you know, the people who are caring for all those campers. So love you, Katie. Thank you for coming on, and happy anniversary again. 9 years.
Thank you, Chris.
Our wonderful
happy anniversary, guys.
I love that.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
There's not much more to say, Betsy, that, you know, we didn't say directly to Katie, but now, you know, my favorite part about this podcast is that we can share the people who we love and that we see doing so many things, like, with the world. Like, I'm like, Katie Webb deserves to have her story out there. And so much of what she said really resonated with me.
Me too. I totally agree. I feel like this is an affirmation of all of the reasons why this podcast has been amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just doubling down on the notion that, and this, we all need to hear this, every single person, no matter how well you're doing, it needs to hear this. Like, we all move through the world that was created for us. And when you stop and look around and think about all of the other things that people are dealing with, or the lens through which they are looking, and as Katie referenced, like, understand what your son sees and how he experiences the world, and you'll understand how to help him. And I think that's pointing advice in every way, both when you're talking about helping people with disabilities and also just experiencing life that is different than yours. So I appreciate her bringing that perspective to us. And this podcast has helped me become a better version of myself. I've said that many times, and being around people like Katie, boy, she does that in spades. And yeah. Shout out to Colleen, who I finally got to sneak on the podcast. She only made a very brief appearance, but we're going to get her back on one of these days.
Yeah, we'll trick her.
Thank you, as always, for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. Please subscribe. It really does help the show. Share it with a friend. And we'd love to hear from you. Ashley@yourmom.co. Have a great week, everybody. Next time, we've got a special guest, Elizabeth Kendig. She's an author. She started a couple of unbelievable companies, and she has an unbelievable lens through which to look through the world at. Can't wait to share her story with you. Until next time, take care, everybody.
This was the hardest one to memorize. I might mess this up.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Walking in circles, confusion is nothing new. Flashback one night, almost left behind. A memories. Time after, sometimes you think of me. You're walking too far ahead. Your voice is something I can't hear what you have said. Then you say, slow down. Those aren't the words. And I lag behind. And the second hand unwinds. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you're lost, it's our name. Time after time. And you will find me. Time after time. I forgot where I cut this. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time.
All right, I'm almost done, you guys. I only have one more song.